to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and...
At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and coming back to visit with Johnny, and I'm looking forward to this. And as Johnny joins us, I just am looking at just got an email on this topic. Mike Mish wrote, and he said that he was reminded of the Del Mar handicap, ancient title crushed 1977. He said Crystal Water and Cascada Peta were the favorites or the horses that were being billed, and Ancient Title just won it in blistering fractions. And in fact, I can pull out the 1978 American Racing Manual, which is right behind me, and take a look. And in fact, Johnny is standing by, I think. Johnny?
I'm here.
We're all excited about Flightline, and we get a ho-hum, I'm here?
Well, you said Johnny, and I'm here. yeah, we should be excited about Flightline. Absolutely. What a tremendous performance. And Andy Byer used that word, although he slipped in the tremendous machine reference, which you should never
do. How about that?
You should never do that.
Shocked.
Yeah. But, that performance, certainly, what else would your mind conjures up that image immediately? It was such a dominating performance over a group of, certainly decent foes. As you said, Country Grammar, comes back with 100 buyer, which is about where he's at. Just an absolutely dominating performance. And I often don't agree with Andy Byer and his analysis of things recently, but I certainly, he's on the pillar. He's on the Mount Rushmore of racing individuals for developing the buyer speed figures. And certainly he was an influence, his writings and his teachings were an influence on me as I was, learning the game, trying to learn the game, developing. And I would suggest anyone who, would like to go back and read his books, it's certainly, if you're new to the game and you're listening, it's certainly a great place to start to get an idea of how things work. But, he mentioned American Pharoah. He mentioned that we throw the term great around a little too much. We're too easy to toss that term around, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. I've said that on the show before. I think we should reserve great for special horses. Can you use that word for this horse? Sort of. I mean, he's certainly an incredible talent. There's no doubt about that. He's one of those race horses who goes fast and then goes faster. And they're tough to beat. They go fast and then they go faster. So he's certainly, but you need to do a little more. And I know that's asking a lot. He's done almost enough for me. He's got to do a little bit more. And maybe that's asking too much for the word great. But for me to put him up there, at the top or up near the top. He's got to do more. And my, you know, look, is he on the way? Yes. It was the word scintillating comes to mind. It was a scintillating performance. Okay. Need to see a little bit more. Now, will we get to see a little bit more from him? John Sadler, known John a long time throughout my racing career, and tremendous trainer. Awesome. Absolutely tremendous. Has worked his way up from being, pigeonholed as a cowbred sprint trainer. But has been a horseman his whole life, and has now developed into, you know, one of the top trainers in the country, for sure, without a doubt. And the Honus Racing Stable, you have to give them credit. They've been inhumanly patient with this horse. In other words, when you have a really good horse, when your trainer tells you, when you get the phone call and he says, you know, this one's really good. And a trainer like John Sadler, who's been around and had good horses in the past, when they call you up and they say, this one can run a little, you get excited as an owner. That's why you're in the game. And for them to be as patient as they have, you know, they had to wait until he was free to start him, so they had to, you know, I mean, they had to wait to start him. It wasn't a, you know, he wasn't going to be able to get this one aimed at the Derby or anything. He didn't start till April of 21. And it was clear he was talented then. But then, look at the spacing. Look at the time that John Sadler and Horonis Racing has given this horse. Why so much time? I think they were forced to wait on him before this first race. But then why so much time in between races? Because I think John Sadler realizes he has a horse who runs very, very fast. And that's an effort. It's a huge effort. John has been a sheep feeder for, you know, as long as sheep have been in California, which is probably 30, 40 years. He was one of the early adapters. He understands efforts, and he understands horses for sure. He understands efforts and their effect on horses. So he's been very careful to space this horse's races out. And I say for the owners, inhumanly patient, because you've got from the start a horse you know is outstanding, and your trainer's telling you, no, we're going to wait. We're going to wait 2 months, 3 months. We're going to wait to run them back. Well, you're dying to run back because that's why you're playing the game. But they've waited and they've done step by step. And this is a fresh, strong horse. Now, if you come back in the Awesome again and then Breeders' Cup, which would be a heavy schedule for him, basically. He hasn't seen that kind of a schedule in his career. He's always had big lines between his races. So that's kind of interesting. Or will John train him directly up to the Classic and take a shot? He certainly looks like he can train his horses. His horses, you know, very willing in the morning, and he works great. So is he going to be join that limited group of great horses in my mind? He's there. I mean, he's on the doorstep. I just have to see a touch more, that's all. He's right there.
It was nice to see the kind of reaction it provoked, Johnny. I it to see people just agog at a performance, because as I've sort of hinted with Andy and as the way I opened the show, you know, we get a lot of hype, and there's too few opportunities to, you know, marvel at something. And this is one of those few opportunities. I mean, this was, you know, even the people that want to naysay typically they have to acknowledge that, you know, this was an avalanche, one of those, you know, snowballs downhill, you know, gaining strength and momentum as it went.
And I agree with you 100%. It was the kind of effort that, the kind of performance that you look at. It was a virtuoso performance. It was one that, you know, you had to, if you were there, you would have to stand to your feet and clap and applaud. It was just one of those. And the other thing about him that's really good is that he's taken his game on the road. He's gone to Belmont and he won the Met Mile. And that's, you know, people, a lot of times, this, I don't know so much nowadays, but it happens. They wanted to dismiss California horses. Oh, he's running on those fast tracks in California. Or always, you know, he's running in California. You know, speed is always golden in California. But people want to denigrate horses who perform in California until they ship to a Breeders' Cup somewhere and win. So the fact that this guy has gone to Belmont and has performed there and won in the outstanding fashion and actually clobbered his opposition that day, that also gives some respect in the East. Just like, you know, California was already a star, but it gives some respect in the East. And it makes people now, you know, the fact that Country Grammar finished second, who, you know, the Grade Three winner at Saratoga and ran in the Travers and Fountain. You know, he's been around the world, actually. So a horse of some note was demolished in this race. And so that really, you know, emphasizes what an outstanding performance. It was one of the best performances I've ever seen. Of course, you know, I mean, the way he moves, he's so athletic, he's not a runoff. I mean, he doesn't appear to be a runoff. He into the first turn. He's fast, but he's not. It doesn't look like he's speed crazy. Which bodes well for any kind of conflict he might get later on in the Breeders' Cup against Life is Good. He doesn't appear like he's speed crazy. He's got all the tools to take that step. And, you know, it's also a little unfair because some of the horses that we remember, for instance, you know, you got a message on Ancient Title, and who beat Cascapedia that day in California, and that was a shade before my race attending race dedication day. I was just, you know, I remember the race, I remember those horses, but I wasn't at Del Mar that day to see that race. But the other thing, the advantage those older horses had, they ran more. We got to see them more. And they ran at two. They ran a bunch of times at two. And then they ran at three. And then they ran at four. And then five. And, you know, we got to really know them. When we look at this resume of Flightline, you know, this is the start. We've only seen him five times now. Certainly, he's brilliant. He's amazing. The figures are off the charts, you know. But we didn't see him at two, and, you know, we didn't see him in the three-year-old. You know, so the public doesn't know him. In fact, I was here. We had family, of course. And I said to my brother-in-law, I said, the race was coming up, we were watching the football game, and I had the races on my computer. I said, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you the best horse in the United States, maybe the world. So I split, and he's not a racing fan at all. So I flipped over to the race from Del Mar. And after the race, he looked at me and said, wow, he said, does that happen all the time? I said, no, it doesn't happen at all. I said, that may be the best horse in the world, I just showed you. He said, man, they're beautiful, aren't they? I said, yeah, they're the greatest athletes in the world. They're fast, they're agile, they're big, they're strong. They're unbelievable. And he said, man, he said, can I see that again? He said, yeah, here, watch it again.
Wow,
he said, look at him. Now, this is what hooks people, is that they get to see this, you know, these kinds of performances. Who knows how many fans the Secretariat produced when he won the Belmont like that. But that was the Belmont. Everyone was watching. You know, it was the Triple Crown. He was in the Derby. He was in the Preakness. That's when all eyes are on the stage. Everyone wasn't watching the Pacific Classic. So, anyway, the great ones that we knew in the past raced more often. Things have changed. So now we have to put new definitions on the great ones. And this guy is, he's got it all.
You know, one thing, Johnny, about this, too, you mentioned about the way Sadler handled him and has chosen to handle him. And, of course, we'll talk to John in hour three. There's been this tendency, you know, given his schedule, you know, for people to grouse a little bit. But he runs by appointment. Part of this is when you have a horse this fast and a horse this talented, you run into the old adage, the slow ones don't get hurt. And, you can understand a little bit better, I think, after this, the ginger handling and being as deliberate as Sadler has been with him.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand it. When a horse runs as fast as he's running, time after time, see, that's the other thing. We often see, I'm going to say a performance like we saw Saturday, but we see outstanding performances, and we say, wow, you know, look at that. But the sign of a great horse is they deliver those kinds of performances again and again and again and again. It's not a one-time thing. You're going to see the 126 fire, but remember, this guy's got a 105, a 114, a 118, a 112, and now a 126. We don't see this. We don't see it at all. You look at a lot of PPs. I look at a lot of PPs. I don't care how many months he's getting off. In fact, some would argue that to get him ready to run a mile and a quarter, he's been off since the 11th of June. It used to be a great training accomplishment to, be off for a couple months and run a mile and a quarter. This horse trains. He trains like clockwork. You know, his works from July 23rd, 59.2, July 30th, 59.2, August 6th, 59, best of 65, August 13th, 112 and 2, best of 7th, August 20th, 7.8, 124, which is probably a gallop out, you know, going a mile. And then August 27th, 59 and 3, just to back off a little bit on it. But when horses are as gifted as this one, they run, and they run with everything they have. And thoroughbreds, the good ones, will give you everything they have. when they are in a race, they will give it to you. And John Sadler knows enough about horses and about horsemanship, and he's been around long enough to know I've got my hands on a special, potentially, Hall of Fame horse. How am I going to manage him? And I think he's done exactly what he should do. You know, he's just, now some people say, well, yeah, he runs by appointment. Well, yeah. The appointment is trainer picks out a stakes race, points him at it, and he wins. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. Unless they change the rules somewhere. Would I like to see him run more often? Yes, I would. As a fan, I would love to see him run more often. But I'm going to trust John Sadler to give me all the thrills. Like, I mean, if this guy, if he runs in the Breeders' Cup and wins the Classic, and then who knows where he goes, whether he goes to Dubai or Saudi or whatever he does, I hope he stays in training. But, you know, looking at the world, I don't know if he will. But I just know that when he shows up, he's going to give us his best, and his best is going to be memorable. And that's all you can say.
Just off the track record. Now I'm actually looking at I'm looking at sort of the internal half miles. I was curious because he went in 23-1, 22-3, so 45-4 for the half. And it, what's amazing about that, Johnny, was he didn't really look. You know, he basically was stalking Extra Hope early. The middle half between the second and third quarter, 46-2. And then the third half would have been 48-1, and then the last half 49-1 when he basically was on cruise control down the stretch. And I mean, essentially that 46-2 in the, you know, between the half mile and the three quarter, that just gutted everybody. There was just no, you know, the anybody that tried to then accelerate to keep up with him, he had powered away. The 23-4 third quarter, and the 24-2 fourth quarter. So it is interesting because the first thing that people are going to bring up, and this is something I'll check in with Richie tomorrow. You know, you do wonder, life is good, if that's what we're going to get here, you know, the two of them, you know, sparring early. We'll see.
Yeah, it'll certainly be a different kind of race. And then you have to say to yourself, well, how easy was he going when he did that 46? You know, the 46 right. gutted everybody. How easy was he going?
Yep.
And if he needed to go a little bit faster, could he have? Boy, I mean, watching it, you sure think so. You know, I mean, nobody knows for sure. And often when horses establish early command, sometimes. When horses sometimes establish early command in a race, take control of a race, and are allowed to get a breather, they can run performances that are way better than anything else they ever run. Wire-to-wire, virtual wire-to-wire scores often are the best races in a horse's past performance line. Their buyers are way better than any other race, and you know, that kind of stuff. They win by more lengths at the end because they just dominate a race. They take control of it. They just, as you say, Frankel used to say, everybody, they get drunk chasing them. Yeah, that's what happens. So a race with Life is Good, and it's going to be a completely different structure, a different kind of race. So, okay, are you great? Because if you're great, you will adapt. You will do whatever's necessary. If you were asked to race behind a horse, you know, setting a fast pace and then kick and go get him, if you're great, you will do that. And then I can say, hey, this is a great horse. It's a different type. There's nothing to suggest this horse can't do that. That's where we're at right now. There's nothing to suggest he can't sit, because he was very comfortable early on. He didn't have to have.
I agree.
Yeah.
I thought that was the most known. That's what I was watching for early. I had every expectation that, you know, that he was gonna win and potentially romp. But what I wanted to see was, you know, how comfortable he was rating on the lead, or rating behind somebody setting the pace. And I mean, all you got to do is see where Extra Hope. I mean, look. I mean, Extra Hope is a very solid performer, a solid citizen. It ends up fifth here, basically, you know, filleted like a fish.
Yeah, there was some filleting going on Saturday.
He's got him down on the ground, and he's filleting him. Giving him the business.
I'm so happy for John Sandler, though, to have a horse like this.
Well, wait a minute. He just had Accelerate and Stellar Wind. It's not like he's been wandering in the desert for 20 years.
No, not at all. He's a top trainer, as I said. He's one of the top trainers in the country, for sure. But this one is different.
That's true. That's fair.
You know, this one's different.
Different air, as they say.
Different air, yeah. And it must be... Again, I say this. I said this before on the show, but the moment when you hold that, when you as a trainer and you've been training for 40 years, and when you're holding a stopwatch and you're watching this horse work, when that moment when you say to yourself, or you turn to whoever's next to you and you say, "Expletive, expletive," this one can really run.
No. There was a lot of that. There was a lot of that Saturday night. Holy shit!
You've been training, but I mean, like, you know, I'm talking about in the morning before he ever runs, or like, you know, that whenever the moment comes, maybe it comes after his first race when you suddenly realize after training for 40 years or 30, whatever it's been, 30 years or 40 years, that you've got one of the ones. And that moment when you say, because you see them do things the other ones never did, the other ones can't do, and this guy just keeps doing it. But that first moment when you realize, because the trainer will realize, and I think we've heard Baffert talk about, you know, with American Pharoah, when he realized, oh, this one's special, you know. There are those moments I would just like to hear, what does it feel like, and when do you know, when do you look? Now, of course, you realize also, if you've been training for 30 or 40 years, you realize you're a little bit jaded, too. You realize that there's a lot of water that needs to run under the bridge before, you know, you get to where you need to be. But... You know you have something to start with, and something you've never seen before. That's
a distinction, no doubt. Well, you know what? And as you say that, and you heard Andy Beyer, you know, sort of give a kind of a, you know, an American Pharoah reaction.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
there was that video from the farm.
Yeah.
You know, at the McCaffins, and watching him as a yearling, and when they were watching, you know, the babies that are being started on, and they, you know, there you get, if you wonder what that's like before a horse gets to the racetrack, anyway, that video is the, you know, is Exhibit A.
Yeah, that's a great video. Got it. I bumped into it the other day by accident, going through some files, and I watched it again. And just watching him move and how fast he was without being asked or anything, just his raw That is raw talent. That's like, you know, some junior high coach getting the team together for a shorts and tees workout and just watching a guy just, you know, destroy everyone on the field, just run around everyone like, oh, man, we're going to have a good season. You know, because I've never seen this before.
That actually also sounds like you and me and Will watching these video clips of Eagle Camp and anticipating the bird season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since we're kicking it off next Sunday, I think they're going to be a problem for teams to defend because they've got a great wide receiving core. They've got a deep threat. They've got a ball control receiver now. They've got a tight end who can catch the ball. He's a decent tight end. They've got a good offensive line. We've got a quarterback who people aren't sold on yet as a top NFL quarterback. But he's a good citizen. He's a good guy. He's a good teammate. And these receivers are friends of his. He's friendly with his receivers. That goes a long way towards success. And he can run the ball. So when I always like to look at teams and say, if I'm a defensive coordinator preparing to play them, how am I going to stop them? Kind of the same thing we do with racing. Like, you know, you've got a horse to beat. You know, what's this race shape? Is there any pace? How am I going to beat the Eagles? And they present a real problem on offense for defensive coaches. Running game is okay, although I'm worried about our starting running back. He hasn't really performed much in camp and preseason and all. But defensively, I'm a little worried about the secondary. But other than that, I think they're going to be okay. I think we're going to have a good year.
Yeah, you see how easily everybody, you see how readily and easily we were able to just take flight line and take flight. And speaking of which, and here's the segue, Johnny.
Yeah.
And that is, of course, a week from tomorrow. A week from today, I'll be at Keeneland, but a week from tomorrow at Keeneland, the second session of Book 1, HIP 243, the feathered yearling, fold April 22nd, 2021. He's already got a name, and it's Eagle's Flight. And he is the half-brother of Flight Line.
Amazing, isn't it? And I don't think that refers to our Eagles. I think that refers to...
I don't know. Maybe.
Just the Eagles.
No,
like
I don't know.
Just the Eagles.
I don't know. I'll find out from Jay Lyon. We'll find out if she's an Eagles fan.
Yeah, find out if that's Philadelphia Eagles specific. If it would have said fly, Eagle, fly, then I would have known it was specific.
That's true. That's a good point. Well,
anyway, it's interesting. It's a great segue, Steve, as usual.
You know, I should include in the conversation that the Jockey Club Gold Cup was run over the weekend. And here, you know, poor Bill Mott and Ellen J. Foxwoods, Olympiad, wins the Gold Cup and wins well, gets a 105 buyer and is barely registered on the screen.
Yeah.
You want to talk about being overshadowed.
that was going to happen. What is the old story? Was that from Rocky? Was that a line from Rocky? Burgess Meredith said something, and somebody won a heavyweight title fight, and he said, "And who gets all the headlines?" He does.
Oh no! It's absolutely. It's from Rocky. It's from the original Rocky, and it's in the scene where, you know, he shows a picture of himself as a young boxer, and that the night that Furpo knocks Dempsey out of the ring.
Yeah. gets all that moose.
Absay, yeah. Yeah, you remind me a little.
You're not nomadic. You're not nomadic.
Thumbtacks in the glove. They're flying out of my cheeks. So great. So great.
We were
just Meredith.
I was talking to another member of the coincidentally, I was talking to another member of the family last night who is in the film business, and he said something to me. He said, "What if we were talking about movies, throwing out movies, talking about what's good, what's bad?" And he said to me, "He said, what about the Rocky movies?" I said, "Well, to me, the first one, that's it. You know, you could have stopped there." And he agreed, but I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with that. But for me, the original was just such a pure movie. Just perfect. And he could have stopped there, but you got to make a buck. You know, it's so great that Olympiad. I mean, what an example of a horse who, you know, couldn't do any wrong, throws in one clunker, and it's your yesterday news.
Exactly.
I went to who?
No. This is the issue we're going to have, too, is that, you know, some of these horses that we all kind of thought would be assembling for the Classic, we'll see if some people, you know, that have potentially other options, going in other directions, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I liked what, I believe it was Andy Byers, you know, he said, you know, if you think the pace can heat up, your horse is doing well. Look, Olympia has no slouch. He's got a 111 Byer on there with the Foster. Things turn a certain way. Hey, that's why we put him in the gate, huh? You never know. I wouldn't, if I were a horse owner of a potential Classic starter, I wouldn't go out of my way to run against Flightline. I wouldn't necessarily run the other way, but I wouldn't go out of my way to go fight him. No.
Well, that's going to be one of the intriguing questions. Couple of things. We got Hammer coming, and we'll see what's going on at Kentucky Downs. Had a big start Thursday, and then rolling along pretty good actually on Saturday too. A few races that we tied into, and then the late portion of the card was scuttled. Chop Chop, juvenile filly winner, basically was the last filly standing. Ray Lou Gutierrez and Brad Cox. And then the boys' race is going to have to wait. We'll find out how they're going to handle it. A couple of other spots, Johnny, I suppose. Annapolis, that was a four-horse field, and he figured to absolutely drill that group, and he did. And the Saranac, the Virginia Joy with the mild upset of Warlike Goddess. And I made the point on TV yesterday, Johnny, this is the frustration when there is a small field. This is the frustration that we end up with because there's no honesty in the pace, and Warlike Goddess was going to be very vulnerable to, you know, that field with literally nobody interested in the front end. So that topic has raised its head quite a bit this summer, and then the rest of the Del Mar action. Where did most of your play gravitate Saturday?
In the toilet, pretty much. Yeah, that's where it gravitated. Seemed to be.
Right in the lumberyard.
Thank God football started again.
You could start to bet. You could start to hit a few bets.
Yeah, college football started in earnest Saturday, so that was a redeeming quality. But I played them all. Based on my good friend Will Schwartz's recommendation, I chased Kentucky Downs. And he told me, he told me it's like shooting fish in a barrel there. You know, he's just cashing tickets left. And I took the collar.
It's not fish in a barrel. I mean, it's a lot of fun, but it's more like an ocean.
It's a crooked
barrel. it's like a pea shooter. It's like a pea shooter into the ocean trying to pick off an orca.
Yeah, I can't remember being so happy that they canceled racing somewhere.
It's going to save me money. Thank you.
Yeah. I was like,
are you funny?
I was like the rat in the trap. The hell with the cheese. I just want out of the trap.
Exactly. I've got no complaints. You know, it's funny. I don't know how much of my bewilderment you've listened to over the last few weeks, but even yesterday when I hit a $900 pick five, even then I got shortchanged. Not shortchanged, but I was snake bit because I had that Coach K was my play of the day, and Coach K gets caught, was going to pay well over $3,000 for the pick five, and instead the favorite wins, and it only, you know, comes back $900 and change. So I was like, this is unbelievable. Even when I win, I'm getting, beaten up about the head and face.
You know, I asked a trainer who was a serious horse player, a very serious horse player in California, and I asked him, I said, how do you deal with losing? How can you, how do you keep coming back after you're getting, you're losing, how do you do that? He said, the track is just holding my money until they give it back to me with interest. Oh, okay.
That's an interesting theory. I mean,
So, Steve, you've been saving money all summer, and now someday you're going to get all that money back plus interest. It's been
like a forced savings
for you.
Did you see? You saw the movie The Professional. With Jean Renault as the French hitman, and Natalie Portman as the orphaned neighbor.
I don't know. I've never seen that one.
Oh my God! If The Professional's crazy entertaining with Gary Oldman as a insane corrupt DEA agent or something. Jean Renault, he's contracted by Danny Aiello, who's got this Italian restaurant, and Tony, and Tony's holding Leon's money, and Tony says, I got the money, and whenever you need it, it's better than a bank, because banks are always getting knocked off, but nobody knocks off old Tony. And that's what this reminds me of. And then finally, Jean Renault, he wants to go get the money, because he wants to give up the hitman gig and run away with Matilda. So there's another analogy. So today's
you gotta,
let's see.
You got to come back to you. As soon as you're ready.
All right, I'm ready for it to come back. I got a little back at Kentucky Downs on Thursday. I can't complain. And I'll tell you where else. Del Mar too. I had a nice. Things were going beautifully at Del Mar until Doug O'Neill threw a wrench in the works.
Yeah, I didn't see that train coming either.
No.
Pace makes the race.
Well, exactly. I said I was so worried about that horse making, trying the grass, I didn't even think about what things meant from a pace standpoint that he could go out there and wire. I mean, that was like, ugh. And you know what? Yeah. You see it happening. It's like a slow motion train wreck.
Yeah. And I'm an anti surface guy myself. In other words, if a horse has established form on the dirt and he's switching to the turf for the first time, I'm not likely to have that horse. I'm more likely to go with horses that have proven form over the surface. So those kinds often catch me unaware. But I am a pace guy, so I could have seen that come. And also, they were three-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
I should have just, if it's an older horse, it's more significant to me. But, you know, in the long run, I think I do okay with that theory, but I've got to kind of be careful with it once in a while.
Well, Johnny, I appreciate the insights and the reaction to Flightline. Knew that was going to be the story this morning between you and Andy Beyer, and we'll talk to John Sadler in now less than an hour. But
at 12 o'clock, you're going to talk to him, right?
You're right, exactly. I'll be talking to him off the air as I drive to Kentucky. No, he's going to join us in about 40 minutes. And actually, we got a lot to do. We got Hammer. We're going to check in at Kentucky Downs. We are going to check in with the soon-to-be voice of Saratoga. How about Miramati, huh? What'd you make of that?
How about that? Yeah, I'm happy for Frank. I'm happy for Frank, and I'm happy for me, and I'm happy for people who watch races at Saratoga. Frank's, you know, and I'm happy for John Imbrielli, who got to step in, and you know, he's been there so long as a backup, and he got to do it full time, and I'm happy for him, but Frank's gonna be great. Frank has really developed into an awfully fine announcer.
Johnny D, everybody, XP Johnny D, Johnny. Good luck today. There's plenty to choose from. I mean, it's a crazy Monday here. Still waiting for the changes in New York. I've got analysis up, but we'll wait and see to finalize. All right, then I got to get on the run. No, Andy is not. There's no changes up yet. But it also still has not. The rain still has not started really in earnest. So we may. Dodge this bullet, but there's no shortage of good racing for people to partake in today.
Well, happy getaway day, and make some money. See, I don't know if you're going to make that withdrawal today or not, but if you don't, it's coming. Check in the mail.
Even if it wants to come in dribs and drabs, I don't mind. I'll take it in any form.
I want a big one.
Right. Thanks, Johnny.
See you later.
Johnny D, folks. Let's take a break, our second of the morning, and come back. We'll check in with Hammer and see what's the word at Kentucky Downs. They're under a little bit of a weather threat here for the next few days. We'll start broadcasting from there on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then Keeneland next Monday and Tuesday. Then I think back to Kentucky Downs, right, the Wednesday, and then Churchill. Now, actually, I see, is that rain? No, it really isn't. It's just some water coming off the trees. No. I think, I don't know. At the races, Sirius XM. Trying to see when Nick can join us, too. If we can't get Nick for a couple of opinions, we'll get him from Seth Merrill. All right? Back after this at the races, Hammer, Frank Miramati's going to, Frank is going to, let's get Frank in first, then Hammer. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a spring.